Blog Talk Radio. It's a melody. You surround me with a deliverance from my enemy. To all my fear is cold. special part of the service. Okay, let's get into the message here real quick. Wait a minute. Before we do that, I'm sorry. Let me open up with a prayer. Okay? Dear Father in heaven, as your children, we come into your presence so that you may lead us with the light that springs out from you, Lord. We come to your light seeking an inner birth to make us what your children ought to be, Lord. Bless us as we thank you for all your goodness and for the powerful help you've given many among us, Lord. Accept the things we offer you and grant that we never forget the good you are doing for us, Lord. Help us to go forward, Lord, always forward, Lord, until your kingdom is completed, Lord. May it not be in vain that we live in the Lord Jesus and love to you, the God and Father of all. May it not be in vain that we bring you our requests and prayers for your kingdom to come soon, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, come. Come soon to this earth so that all people may acknowledge the true God and may love you. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, well, let's get into the first message. The first message is the marks of a maturing Christian. Okay? And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 32 talks about this, if you want to get a reference in your Bible. See, God gave the church her spiritual leaders for the sole purpose of promoting spiritual growth within the body of Christ. The reason why growth is needed is obvious. The Bible is clear when it tells us that every Christian is a baby when they are saved. Hence, the process is called the new birth. Just as every parent in the world is delighted when they see their children growing and maturing, God is blessed when he sees his children making the transition from babyhood into adulthood in a spiritual sense. God wants us to move from the spiritual nursery to the spiritual battlefield. See, God's plan for every one of his children is to see them all reach spiritual maturity. He just wants us to grow up. Our lives are filled with ups and downs and the struggles of the flesh and the spirit. We are not self-righteous, self-confident, and self-reliant. We merely want to grow with those who fight the same battles. The Word of God contains information we need to make our desires to grow a reality. See, the mature Christians are steadfast in their doctrine and is not taken in by the false teachings in the world around them. They know what they believe and why they believe. They are spending time in the Word of God and are not deceived by the lies, tricks, and traps of the enemy. They are steadfast in their development and have a deep attraction to the truth of God. They are constantly adapting their lives to the teachings of the Bible. They take the time to find out what God wants from their lives, and they change whatever it takes to line up with His will. They do this because obedience to the Word of God produces genuine Christian likeness in their lives. They are steadily progressing in their growth and relationship, and are also steadfast in their devotion. Just as our human bodies are knitted together in a wonderful way, so the body of Christ has been carefully compacted together with each member in place that pleases the Lord. They want to find their place in the body and fulfill that place to the best of their ability. It's a sign of spiritual maturity when a believer does his or her best to carry out the assignments that they have been given by God. When a part of these physical bodies doesn't live up to its assignment, it causes problems for the whole body. When one part fails, the whole body suffers. The same is true in the church. When every person participates and does what they have been assigned to do, things function smoothly. But when they do not do what they are supposed to do, the whole church suffers as a result. So a maturing believer is easily identified because he or she is so different from the world around them and separated from the works of darkness. See, Paul makes the distinction between how the lost man lives and how the saved man has saved many lives. So when a person receives Jesus as a personal Savior and is born again, they literally receive a brand new life. They can no longer walk as they once walked. they can no longer live as they once lived. The maturing believer, on the other hand, is no longer in darkness because lights have been turned on his soul. The old man of living is not good enough any longer. There's a new desire to walk in the path the Lord lays out. They are separated from a walk of darkness because they have received a change of life that results in a change in their walk. So we are called upon it to put off once for all the ways of the old man who is just growing worse day by day. We are called upon to put on once and for all the new man who has been created in righteousness and holiness. When the new believer comes to faith in Jesus, he learns a new way of life. God puts a new desire within his children that makes them want to live differently than they used to live. So the maturing believer looks different, acts different, walks different, and thinks different than he did before. So Paul talks about the maturing believer's day-to-day walk. He focuses primarily on how they act, reacts, and interacts with their fellow believer. The maturing believers, the emphasis in life is removed from self as a focus on others. The maturing Christian has come to understand that the world is bigger than they are. Their cares about the lives of others showed what Jesus said. His people could be identified by their love for one another. In John chapter 13:35, they are Christ-like in their actions instead of taking what belongs to another to justify personal lust. The believer is challenged to help others. They are those who have begun to look beyond self to see the needs of others. They are Christ-like in their reaction and learning to control their anger when they are offended and to offer forgiveness when they have been hurt. They do not allow the hurts they suffer at the hands of others to cause them spiritual problems. See, we can be angry without sinning. How is this possible? It can only happen when you are angry only about things that anger God. He is talking about righteous indignation. Any other anger in our lives opens a beachhead in our lives from which the devil can attack us. If we give him an inch, he'll become your ruler. The world tells us that we are to refrain from getting even and lashing out at others. We are to forgive them to the same extent that we ourselves have been forgiven. We are to do so even if they don't make it right with us. They are Christ-like in their interaction with to one another. Okay? We should always speak the truth. When we lie to a fellow believer, we are lying to the body of Christ and to ourselves. We are to watch the evil speech that tries to pour out from our mouths. When we speak, it should be with edification and building up others. Anything else grieves the Spirit of God and hinders the church. A mature believer knows this and seeks to control his tongue, for the foolish speak and demonstrate their ignorance. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. It is better to be quiet and allow people to think that you are a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So when you're growing up, did your parents ever say to you, I wish you would grow up? You know what they meant? They wanted you to act more mature than you had been acting. I wonder if God looks down to his church and say, I wish they would grow up. Amen. That ends my thought for today about maturing Christians. And I hope that if you're a maturing Christian, you are doing what I spoke about. Amen. Okay. Now let me get into this, the most important question. Okay? And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because in a minute, you will get a chance to. So, let me ask you, are you walking around in life not knowing where to go, what's up or down? Okay, are you lost? Okay, you have no purpose in life? Okay, you don't know what to do? Or maybe you suffer from depression or some sort of anxiety? Okay. Okay. maybe, okay, you're suffering from such as an addiction, such as alcohol or drugs, overeating, gambling, okay, sexual immorality, whatever it may be. See, God can take that away, but in order to do so, He's got to know you, folks. So I say, are you ready to accept the Lord Jesus to be in your life? If so, please pray this simple prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long, I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation, and I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins at Calvary and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you and may He keep you highly favored. Right now, the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, okay, and all the angels, okay, and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Okay? So, won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's play some more music, okay? Yeah, here we go.
Inviting me into your homes or from wherever you're listening to this evening. I'm here to bring you the word of the Bible, the word it was written, the way it was written, the way it was meant to be shared from my lips. No, excuse me, from the Bible through my lips to your ear. Tonight we're going to go with Judges 10, 16, 18. Then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths and the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, and the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. They forsake the Lord, and they did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the people of Ammon. From that year they harassed and oppressed the children of Israel. For 18 years, all the children of Israel who were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, in Gilead, moreover, the people of Ammon, crossed over the Jordan to fight against Judah also, against Benjamin, against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was severely distressed. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you, because we have both forsaken our God and served the Baals." So the Lord said to the children of Israel, "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines? Also the Syrians, the Amalekites, the Mennonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress." And the children of Israel said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems best to you. Only deliver us this day, we pray." So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul could no longer endure the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people, the leaders of Gilead, said to one another, "Who is the man who will begin the fight against the people of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. But he was the son of a harlot, and Gideon begot Jonathan, and Gilead's wife bore sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drew Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then he fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob, and worthless men banded together and went out raiding with him. Well, it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to Jephthah from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our commander, and we might fight against the people of Ammon." So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Do you hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now and when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to him, "That is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head against all the inhabitants of Gilead." So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head?" And the elders of Gilead said to him, "The Lord will be witness between us. If we do not according to your words," then Jephthah went with the elders to Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Then the Spirit of the Lord came against Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And he made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering." So Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he defeated them from Arar as far as Minnith, 20 cities, to the Abel Karaman, with a great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Then Jephthah came to his house of Mizpah, where his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing. And she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it." So she said to him, "My father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies and the people of Ammon." Then she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends, and I." So he said, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her friends and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. And it was so at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, and he carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed. She knew no man. And it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went 4 days each year to lament the daughters of Jephthah the Gileadite. Amen. just goes to show you, you can upset the Lord over and over and over again, but if you ask his forgiveness, he'll always give it to you. We're going to go with a word of worship. We're going to do Psalms 37, 12, 15. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright conduct, who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Well, before I go, I want to thank you for inviting me in tonight. It was fun as usual, sharing the word of the Bible with you. No matter what Bible it comes from, no matter where I pull it out of, it's all the word of God. That's all you need to know. You might not have a chance to get to a Bible or Google a Bible, but at least once a night I come in and let you know what's between the bindings of that book. So we're going to twist a little to the dark side. Words of wisdom, Proverbs 11:22. As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. We know what kind of women those are. I'm going to turn you back over to Ken tonight, and I will let you know that all the chat in the chat room, the decision not to take callers tonight was mine. Ken was against it. He thought we should take a couple of callers. No. Y'all need to learn how to play nice with each other and not come on this show and argue. We're a godly show. We're not the comedy hour.
Amen. We read the Bible with passion there, Tony.
Well, thank you so much, Ken.
You're so...
I enjoy reading for you.
Well, thank you. I enjoy your reading. All right. Well... All right. All right. Well, let's play a little bit more music here. All right. If others could only see the depth and the height of my love dispensed out upon you, they would love you just as I love you. I have no other plan than the plan of outpoured love for your life. I love you because I love you. Love is why I came, and love is why I stay, always by your side. I fully intend to keep you in place of love and intimacy every day of your life and every moment of your existence, extending into eternity without end. I created eternity as the necessary containment of my love for you that is endless, boundless, and trackless. You could go into any direction for a million years and never diminish or dim. My love for you, beloved, for I am the embodiment of undistracted agape, totally focused upon you this day. Accept no substitutes, then, says the Father. Life conspires to offer you many cheap substitutes for what only I can afford you. I am the real deal, says the Father. Every other love in its most pure form can only hint at the agape of God. Reveal my love, luxuriate in my love this day. Your calling is to be loved. Your destiny is to walk out in consequences and implications of my love for you. Yes, says God, yours is the journey of discovered love. Now take that love wherewith I have loved you and go and love the world back. It isn't difficult when you come to know the love that is yours from my heart. A lesser love or failure to love even the most difficult person is not a horizontal challenge, but rather a vertical deficit, indicating you have yet to receive the full encapsulation of the love I demonstrated on the cross and ratified in the resurrection. This, beloved, is the love wherewith you are loved this day. Amen. Well, like I said, this word goes out to those who need it most, and you know who you are. Amen. Okay, well, we've got a few minutes left in the program, so I'm going to close this out with a prayer. Lord God, we thank you for establishing us on this firm foundation of your word and your promise. Your promise that expresses a great longing and hope in so many people's hearts. For they do not want their lives to remain base and petty, but want to look towards something higher, rejoicing that promises can be fulfilled for them. So today we too stand ready for the coming time you are bringing, and we exult in your expectation of the future. We rejoice in the expectation of time when you will give your spirit to us and to all those who answer your call and become your helpers. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to end this with a song, okay? Okay, so may you all be blessed. Thanks, everybody, for the callers that are listening, okay, everybody in the chat room, okay, everyone that's listening on the link. May God bless you and keep you highly favored. Amen. Thank you. good night, everybody. Have a blessed night. Thanks for listening. Okay. Thanks for being in the chat room, everybody. Your thoughts are welcome. Okay. May God bless you, and have a blessed night. Bye-bye, Alan.